Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
My name is April Colquitt. I'm our Wellspring Kids pastor and also serving our communications team. That's my team over there. Thank you for the love, guys. That's my awesome kids team. By the way, when you go pick up your kids today, just say thank you to their volunteers that serve with them. We have the best kids team, and I love them. They're some of the greatest people. So as we were singing that song, I was thinking, sometimes doesn't it just feel like the storm won't cease? Do you ever feel that way? Did you come in here feeling that way today? But praise God, we have an anchor of peace in Jesus, right? No matter how great our faith is, it does not save us from adversity, but we have an anchor of peace whose name is Jesus. And my favorite line of that song is that we can take hold of the hand of the Savior. And as we sing that, I think about holding hands with someone. I doubt you go around holding hands with strangers, do you? I hope not. That would be weird. We take hold of the hand of someone who we're close to, not just in proximity, but in relationship. We hold hands with someone who we know closely and who we trust, and that is Jesus. For the last several weeks, we have been learning about the fruits of the Spirit, and one of the things that we've been saying is that people are always God's priority. He is pursuing close relationship with us. And sometimes the way that he pursues relationship with other people is through us. He transforms our heart and our mind to be more like his so that we are drawing people to Jesus so that they too can reach out and take hold of the hand of the Savior, who is Jesus. And so today, I wanted to start by showing you some images that I think you'll recognize right away. These are pretty universal signs for the word peace, which is what we just sang about. We see these images all over the place. You might see them on t-shirts and posters or bumper stickers. You see them walking through the mall or at a concert. You might text some of these emojis to your friends sometimes. We see the dove a lot at Christmas time on an ornament or Christmas trees or things like that as a religious symbol of peace. You might even throw a peace sign to your friends across the room at a party to say, peace out, I'm out of here, have fun, I've had enough, and I'm going home. These are symbols of peace that we see and we all know and recognize. But what peace really means is this. This is the real definition of peace: freedom from disturbance and tranquility. When is the last time you had a little freedom from disturbance? I just got back from vacation, so I actually had a little bit of freedom from disturbance this week. But of course, it ended too quickly, as it always does. And that's kind of the way it always is when we have a little freedom from disturbance. It doesn't last long enough, does it? We can find moments of peace, a moment here and there, a quiet walk on the beach, or to watch the sunset while we sit on our back porch, or maybe some of you like to have a cup of coffee in the morning before the rest of the house wakes up. I do. When my kids were really little, I used to find a moment of peace just to walk through the grocery store without my toddlers in tow. That was peaceful to me. There's a lot of different ways that we can find peace, and we all crave it. We crave those moments of tranquility, those moments where we can turn off the stress and the anxiety for just a little bit. And all of those things that I just named are ways that we can cope with the stress, with anxiety, with worry, but they're not enough. When it comes to the storms that won't cease, we need more than a symbol of peace. We need more than a cup of coffee in the morning or a walk on the beach. We need something that will last. A moment of peace is not enough. But lasting peace is possible. We need something that we can sink our teeth into and hold on to for more than 5 minutes, and we can have it. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's a passage of scripture that you might be familiar with. It's found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And it's this: for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see this verse a lot at Christmas time, right? We hear it preached about a lot at Christmas. And the reason for that is because it was sort of a birth announcement for Jesus. It was given to the prophet named Isaiah some 700 years before the angel Gabriel even appeared to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a baby. I mean, talk about a premature birth announcement. Ladies, we wait around 12 to 14 weeks after we found out we're pregnant to even tell the rest of the world that we're going to have a baby because we want to be really sure that things are going well. This is way before that. I mean, way premature. So it's kind of weird to think that God gave this prophecy that long ago. But the reason that he did is because the people were walking in darkness. The nation of Israel was facing a really dark time. They were full of despair and hopelessness, and they needed this because they were starting to turn their backs on God, which is what we sometimes do, isn't it, when we're walking through a dark time, when chaos unfolds and there's all kinds of turmoil and our life is falling apart. We sometimes get swept away with the anxiety and the worry and the stress, and we forget about God. And that's exactly what was happening with the Israelites. And so God gives the prophet Isaiah this word to give the people hope. It's two purposes to this prophecy. And the first one is to give them hope, a renewed faith that God had not forgotten them, that he was still with them, and that he had a plan to deliver them from doom. And not just deliver the nation of Israel, but God had a plan to deliver all people from darkness and doom through his son Jesus. And in this prophecy, he is giving his son a title. He has called him the Prince of Peace. God's son, Jesus, wouldn't just be a source of peace. He would be the source for peace for everyone. We are on the other side of this announcement. We know that God fulfilled his promise to send his son, Jesus, and that through Jesus' death and resurrection, that peace was made for all people between God and man for all time, once and for all. Peace was made through Jesus. We know that. But the part of this prophecy that I don't want us to miss is the second purpose in its announcement, where Isaiah tells us his government and its peace will never end. The term government is a word that suggests rule, authority. So God is being purposeful and intentional in letting us know that his son, Jesus, would come with authority on day one and forevermore. Jesus would rule, his government would rule with peace, and he would come with authority. So I believe that the key to finding lasting peace is found in this passage. That peace is more than just a moment. It's more than a moment free from disturbance. It's more than just 5 or 10 minutes of tranquility. Peace, tried and true, lasting peace, is the rule of Christ. The rule of Christ. It is when we recognize the authority that Jesus holds. If we want tried and true and lasting peace, the kind that we can grab onto when life gets hard, it will be because we have bowed and surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ in our life. Have you ever noticed how some people seem to have their life together and things are going really well and they really don't have that much to complain about, but yet they seem to be in total turmoil? And other times you might see someone whose life is just upside down. They're walking through a really hard time and yet they seem to be at peace. How can it be that someone can have peace when the circumstances aren't all that peaceful? I think the answer is in Isaiah's words, that our peace is determined by who is governing our life. Peace is determined by the position, the current position and authority that we have given Jesus Christ over our life. And I say current position because we can let Jesus rule our life 1 minute and not in the next. We can give him authority in some areas of our lives, but not in others. But if we really want to know the kind of lasting peace that is found in Jesus, then we've got to be surrendered to the rule and the authority of him in our life and recognizing him as the Prince of Peace. The more that we loosen our grip on the outcomes, trying to control Loosen our grip on the money or whatever it is that we hold so dear. Our children, our job, our things. The more that we loosen our grip on those things and we release them to the Prince of Peace, the more peace we will have in our life. If you've been following Jesus for a long time, you might know what I'm talking about. But if you're new to your faith, you might still be discovering this. But what we all need a reminder of today is this. Peace is most prevalent when Jesus is most prominent. When we have recognized him as the ruler of peace, the governor of peace. When we bow to his authority in our life and we surrender it to him, peace will be much more prevalent. It will flow in abundance in our life. That's why you hear people say things like, let go and let God. I'm not really usually a fan of cliche statements like that, but in this case, it actually works. When you let go of trying to manipulate the outcome, when you let go of the fears and the doubt and the skepticism that swirls in your mind about everything, the stress and the anxiety, when you let go of that and you let God handle it, you will know peace. That's when we find rest. The more that we release and default to his control, the more prevalent peace will be in our life. When you hear me say, Jesus, making Jesus more prominent, you might think, well, we're just supposed to sit in front of our Bible all day and play worship music all day, every day. We're just supposed to come to church more. Well, I will highly recommend taking some peaceful moments of your day to spend with Jesus in his word. I'm talking about inviting Jesus into the everyday moments of your life, into the turmoil, as often as you think about it. One of the best and most accessible and simple ways that we have to make Jesus more prominent in our life is through prayer. It's a gift that we can talk to God anytime, anywhere, about anything, and he hears us. We don't need anything special with us. We don't need anyone special with us. We don't have to say any particular words or phrases. We just talk to God like he is our best friend about anything. One of the people who we talk about here a lot at Wellspring, what's his name?
Paul.
Paul was the apostle who helped start a lot of churches, and Paul spent a lot of time in prison, being persecuted and beaten for teaching people about Jesus. And even Paul teaches us, even though he had that tumultuous, chaotic lifestyle, he knew that prayer was key to finding peace. So I want to take you to his letter to the Philippians. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray about everything, in every situation. Talk to God about what you're worried about and about what you're not worried about. Talk to him about the good things in your life, the bad things in your life. Talk to him about the ugly things in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know what the ugly is? Sin, the things that you struggle with, your shortcomings, your mistakes, your failures. Talk to God about those things too. Because when you talk to him about those things, he reminds you that he's already handled it, that there's grace and mercy for you. Talking to God about the ugly things in our life is just as important as talking to him about the things that we're worried about and need help with, because it keeps us close to him. It keeps us from putting up a wall to where we feel like we can't go to him about things anymore because we stepped too far back. Talk to God about every single thing. And Paul says that when we do, he promises us peace. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. The peace of God, the Prince of Peace, will guard your heart and mind. The Prince of Peace will call a command of peace over your heart and your mind to protect you from stress and worry and shame and anxiety and fear. We just call on his name. And as we talk to him, a peace that transcends all understanding, Paul says. That means it's the kind of peace that you really can't even explain or quite put your finger on, but you just know it in your soul because you have surrendered it to the Prince of Peace. You have put it at his feet and trusted him and trusted his authority. prayer is key to making Jesus most prominent in our life. I wonder if the new peace symbol should just be praying hands. Could we just do away with the other ones and just send this symbol to our friends in a text message and just say, peace over you, friend. I am praying for you. Peace. Prayer is where we surrender to the authority of Jesus. It's where we bow to his rule and his government in our life. It's where we give him our worries, our worship, our good, our bad, our ugly. And prayer is what keeps us so close to Jesus that we could comfortably reach out and take his hand as our Savior, our anchor of peace, the Prince of Peace, as declared long ago. Oftentimes when we find that peace, God will give us an opportunity to share that same peace with other people and to talk about it. And we have a family in our church who many of you will know, Andrew and Alyssa Mims. Andrew's on staff here at Wellspring. And he and his wife, Alyssa, went through a very tumultuous time in 2020, as many of you did, I'm sure. And they wanted to share their story today in hopes that it might help you discover the kind of peace that is found when we make Jesus most prominent in our life. So we're going to share their story, and I want this to just be the rest of our message today, and that you will leave here remembering that peace is most prevalent when Jesus is most prominent.
Hi, my name is Andrew Mims. I am the Director of Operations at Wellspring. I have been on staff for about 3 years, and I have been attending the church for about 10.
Hi, my name's Alyssa. I'm Andrew's wife. I've been going to church at Wellspring for about 3.5 years now. I actually started going to the singles community group back 3 years ago, and that's where I met Andrew. After we got married, what was it, four months later, we found out I was pregnant, and with our first daughter, Haven. She's 2 now.
At the beginning of the year, we had kind of started talking about, you know, having another child.
Yeah.
We wanted them to be close in age, and and we just, you know, we started talking about the beginning of the year. Well, we didn't think it would happen quite that quickly, but we got pregnant in
April.
Yeah, April of 2020.
Yeah.
And again, you know, COVID and everything was already, you know, known. It was a thing. And like I said, I think we were nervous about that, but nobody knew it was going to last as long as it did.
After we got pregnant with Caleb, we had just, I think, just found out that, you know, the pandemic was starting. And Haven had just turned 1, and we couldn't celebrate her first birthday because of the pandemic, and everything was shutting down.
For the first month or two of her being pregnant, I couldn't even go to any doctor's appointments with her. And that was, you know, sad for me. I wanted to be there, but also, you know, frustrating for us because it's already tumultuous enough. And then you throw in, you can't even be there to, you know, hear the baby's heartbeat for the first time or anything.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was tough. But I think all of that really kind of set off this chain of events that we didn't even know was coming. But one of the first concerns we had during this pregnancy came about a month in. Alyssa started experiencing some bleeding, and she went in to get that checked. And it turns out she essentially had a type of hemorrhage that forms in between the placenta and the uterus.
Mm.
And so we were beside ourselves with, you know, what does this mean? And there's nothing they can really do about it. You kind of have to just wait and see what happens. And it took, a couple months for that to kind of resolve itself. But thankfully it did. It just went away one day.
Yeah.
And that was the first, you know, we were like, wow, this is great. Like, we got through this. That's, you know, this is going to be the biggest challenge we're going to face. And man, God came through, and it happened. And little did we know, it was going to be quite an eventful time.
After that subsided and we got over that, I think it was my 20-week ultrasound appointment. They said the baby was great and everything looked awesome, but they noticed that there was a large cyst on my right ovary. And I wasn't too concerned about it until the doctor told me that it was 13 centimeters and I was going to have to go to a high-risk doctor.
A cyst on an ovary during pregnancy isn't really uncommon, from what the doctors told us. The concerning thing about this one was, is not only was it 13 centimeters, which is about the size of a grapefruit, but it had actually tripled in size. They actually saw it several weeks before that. But again, it was small, not a concern, but it tripled in size in like a matter of weeks.
I was seeing a high-risk doctor, my regular OBGYN, and then they also sent me to MUSC for the doctors up there as well. So I was just going through doctor after doctor after doctor, hearing different opinions about what to do about the cyst and what my the birth of Caleb was going to look like.
So Alyssa, again, having to go by herself, goes to see the high-risk specialist, OBGYN. And I remember that day very clearly. She called me as soon as she left, and she's just in tears. And I'm like, what's wrong? Like, what did he say? You know, whatever. And she was just almost beside herself. Like, I couldn't even understand what she was saying. It was so just emotional. And so by the time she gets home, she looks at me and says, you know, he said it might be cancer. And as hard as that is for the person who's dealing with it to go through, you know, it's also difficult as someone that loves them to hear that. You're like, what? Where did this come from? Like, we thought this was just some kind of cyst. They said it was normal. Like, and now we're going into this cancer. Like, where did this come from? I call the doctor. His nurse picks up. She says, I'm actually going to get him to call you himself. Mm. And he actually did, which was pretty amazing. Like, most of the time, these specialists, you know, they're not going to take the time to necessarily do something like that. But I think this was the first time during this that we saw God move. And this, he calls me back himself. He talks to me for probably 30 minutes on the phone. Mm. And kind of the first piece that we got in this situation was this doctor actually took the time to tell me how I could get into appointments with her and explain to us, hey, look, this is now moving into a totally different realm. You need to be at these appointments. And he talked us through what to tell all the different doctors we were seeing and all the specialists so that I could come to appointments with her even during this time of COVID. And that was really great. And it gave us a lot of peace that at least we could be together and hear the news together and be able to process it together. And that was just a really great thing. And we were really thankful that he did that. After we talked to the high-risk doctor and they explained to us that because Alyssa was past her first trimester, they could not go in and take the cyst out now. So they said the only thing we could do was wait and see what happened. If it grew dramatically, they would have to go in and do something about it now. If it stayed the same, we would just wait till the end of the pregnancy to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So we had options.
I could either try and deliver naturally. And if I did that, I would have to go back 6 weeks later and have the cyst removed. Or I could have a C-section and get the cyst removed at the same time as they, after they pulled the baby on it, get the cyst removed. But they were really worried about me doing that because they said there's just a lot of complications.
Depending on the size and the positioning of the cyst, if you go in to try to push this baby out naturally, you may end up in an emergency C-section. Yeah. And that was what they told us was probably the worst case scenario because they couldn't be prepared for it. So then there was, you know what? Let's just go ahead and schedule a C-section. Well, do we do that and then go back and deal with the cyst? Do we do it all at the same time? You know, and there were so many considerations. It came down for us is what is the safest thing we can do for Alyssa and our baby? And what should we do to, you know, minimize the, you know, the upsetting of our life and trying to juggle having a newborn and a 1-year-old, almost a 2-year-old at this point. And ultimately where we landed was, you know, where we believe God wanted us to be.
Yeah. So I had talked to the doctor and told them that I wanted to go through with the C-section and remove the cyst at the same time. And they, you know, seemed to be reassuring about that they could do it. And I decided to go forward with that at MUSC. one of the doctor that was actually going to be the one to remove the cyst, was telling me about all the risks. And I think he just wanted to make sure that I knew, you know, what could possibly go wrong, and to make sure that I was okay with still going forward with that. And it was scary, the risks, you know, the things that he was saying. And so I juggled, and I went back and forth again about what to do. And ultimately, I just started praying every day about what to do. And I prayed to God, and I said, with every ultrasound I have, I said, if you want me to have this baby naturally, just shrink the cyst a little bit. Like, just let it go down like a little bit. Just give me some sort of sign. Because they said if it gets smaller and smaller, it'd be safer to deliver naturally. And every time I would go to have a C-sec or an ultrasound, the cyst was the same. It never shrunk. It never got bigger, but it never shrunk. And so that was just another reassurance from God telling me, like, it's okay to go forward with the C-section. After I got off the phone with him and we were moving forward with having that date set, I finally was like, okay, this is our plan. You know, we got a plan. We're good. I can stop worrying now. And then I get a call 2 days before my C-section. I get on the phone with my doctor, and he said he was just calling me strictly just to ask me if I was sure I wanted to do this. And I didn't know how to answer that. I was really confused why he was calling me and asking me if I was sure I wanted to go through with this 2 days before I was supposed to go through with it. And he was like, I just want to remind you of all the risks. And, you know, this isn't going to be easy. This isn't something we've ever done before. And he said, there's a chance that you could bleed out. There's a chance that you could die. There's a chance that we can't remove the cyst, and there's a chance that we're going to remove the cyst in your whole ovary. And the big scary thing with removing my whole ovary was that I could go into menopause early because I only had one ovary left. So, it was just a lot of worries, and he just kind of put all those worries in my head 2 days before I was supposed to go and have this done. And, so I had probably an hour conversation with my doctor that night. And I got off the phone and I was just in tears. I didn't know what to do. I said, are we not doing this? Do I need to wait? Do I need to just try and see if the baby will come naturally? I was already a little bit dilated. So I didn't know what to do. I was back at square one again, questioning if this was the right thing or not. And I remember just asking everybody, my mom, my dad, your mom and dad, you, and just asking, just somebody tell me what to do, because I can't make the decision anymore. Like, why is this all on me? Got down on my knees and I prayed. And I was like, God, just please give me clarity. Tell me what, you know, what is the right thing to do? And I honestly felt in that moment, God answering me as I was praying to him, like, I already have this for you. Like, I've already been answering it. Like, you're okay. Trust me. You know, and in that moment I just had peace, come over me. And it was just the peace that I needed to be okay when I did go to MUSC. When we got to MUSC, we had an ultrasound scheduled for, one last time before I had to go to have the C-section the next day. And we were excited to see the baby one more time before giving birth. And when we got there, this was actually the first time you were able to see Caleb on the ultrasound, right? Because you hadn't been able to go to any of the other ultrasound appointments. So this was the first time you actually got to be at an ultrasound appointment with me, was the day before the C-section. And I remember asking the ultrasound tech how much Caleb weighed. And she told me that she thought he weighed 6 pounds, 14 ounces. And we both kind of looked at each other and we were like, no, that can't be right. Because he was already weighing like about that, like 3 weeks before that. And I know babies gain like their most weight at the very end. And so I was like, I don't think you're right. I was like, there's no way he's that little. They started the C-section and I heard Caleb crying, and of course I started crying, and they pulled down the curtain and I was able to see him, and they held him up to me, And the doctor who was going to be removing the cyst after was standing there too. He wasn't supposed to be there, actually. He was supposed to come in just in time to remove the cyst, but he came early. So he got to watch the baby being pulled out, and he was actually right there beside us, and he told us what was happening. He told us that Caleb's cord was wrapped around his neck twice and that it had a huge knot in it. And when they pulled the curtain down, they showed us the knot. And he just, you know, he was the one that had called me 2 days before that, trying to basically talk me out of, you know, having a C-section. He was saying, how did you know? How did you know to have a C-section? Like, you stuck to your guns. You were the one who was telling me to have a C-section. And he was like, if you would not have gone through this, it could have ended really bad. He said, you would have ended up in an emergency C-section anyways, and it might not have turned out good. And all I could tell him and say was, it was God, because he was the one who really gave me that peace and clarity. And it was just a really cool moment that I got to have with the doctor and you, and just a witness of God's grace and, you know, faith through all of what we had to overcome. This whole experience taught me a huge lesson. Not everything that seems bad in your life is bad. If I didn't have that huge cyst on my ovary, I probably wouldn't have opted for a C-section, which ultimately saved our son's life. The knot in his cord was cutting off his nutrition, and if I didn't ask for an earlier C-section date, because I was having so many contractions, we may not have Caleb here today. But I know God was guiding me through the whole way. They didn't know if the cyst was cancer, but it wasn't. They didn't know if they could save my ovary, but they did. They didn't know if the plan we decided on was the right one, but it was, because it was God's plan, and his plan is perfect.
You know, Caleb comes out perfectly healthy.
6 pounds, 14 ounces, by the way.
Despite all the things that we found out later were going on with him, it is amazing that he came out that we had made the best decision we possibly could. And for me, the amazing part about that is Alyssa had clarity throughout the process. Now, yes, we went back and forth sometimes about specifics, but each and every time she would look at me and say, I have peace about this. I feel like this is the avenue that God wants us to take. And it was really, she influenced me and made me lean into that more, because I'll be honest, usually I'm the one who's a little more like, you know, man, God's got this. We don't need to worry about it. You know, God will get us through this. But in this case, I didn't know what to do. But the peace and the clarity that she had was so powerful that it came over to me, and God just said, I have this. You don't need to worry about this. And to see that come to fruition and know that if she would not have stuck with what she felt like God was telling her, that either Caleb or even Alyssa might not be sitting here today, is pretty powerful. And the, you know, the Bible talks about that God gives us peace that passes all understanding. And by several accounts, we should have probably let somebody talk us out of doing things the way we did.
Yeah.
But that's not what God wanted for us. And I truly believe that he had his hand on Caleb and on Alyssa and was just giving us that peace so that we would make the decision that led to the most amazing and unbelievable outcome.
I think it took a while after Caleb was born for it to really like click in what had happened and just like the miracle of it all. But when I started telling people the story is I think when it started clicking for me, like how it all came together and how God just really gave me the answers, and not just only the answers, but the peace to like stick with it was just something that I've never probably experienced in that level before. And just when they pulled Caleb out and, you know, it all came to a head and it all, like all my answers for 9 months was answered in a split second.
God wanted to do this in our lives so that the next time we go through a trial, the next time we call out to him and say, show us what to do, when he speaks, we'll have that peace. And it's funny, sometimes whenever I'm trying to get Caleb to sleep or trying to calm him down, I will sing Waymaker to him. And we all know that song. You know, it says that God is the Waymaker, the miracle worker. He's that light in the darkness. And that's exactly what he was for us in this moment. And just like the song says, the next time we go through something like this, I will be able to say, that is who you are. That is who you are, God. And I will be able to look back and say, you gave us peace when there was no reason for us to have it. You gave us clarity when it was totally unclear. And that's the thing that I think will shape our family, our marriage, and the rest of our lives, knowing that God is faithful and he truly has that peace that passes all understanding.